Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Welcome to a special edition of the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bubka, and Alex Maselli, instead of sitting alongside of me, is going to bring you lots of excitement because the poor guy is in St. Andrews, only his favorite place in the world. How you doing, Alex? And if you tell me bad when you're at St. Andrews, I'm just not going to believe it.
Well, I'm not going to say it's bad, Bob. As you know, this is one of my favorite places, and it's my absolutely favorite golf course in the world. And even when I don't play well, I still love being here. And it's just been about three good, really good days of weather, and it's been a lot of fun.
You know, Alex, I've been to quite a few media days here in the States, which is a day they hold to kind of generate excitement for the upcoming event. You were at the media day for the Open Championship coming up at St. Andrews. Right away, I said to myself, boy, they don't have to generate any excitement for that event. I mean, it's already going to be special. What took place at media day? What news can you share with our listeners?
Well, you know, oddly, Bob, it's not like a traditional media day here. What they called it was a media facilitation day. And they did give us some news, but basically it was just a discussion of how things are going to go, how they work. They really didn't want us to, like, write about some of the things that we talked about. But then ultimately they did give us the information about, and this may have leaked out already, that Nick Faldo is going to be playing in his last Masters along with Tom Watson. So that was one of the things that we could write about from here. The second thing is that the amount of stands that they're putting together and the size of the grandstands they're putting together along 17, the road hole, behind 18, and along the first fairway. There's going to be a lot of places for spectators to sit during the Open Championship. But the one behind 18 is going to be two-tiered, first time ever. And they're able to do that because of some technology that they have spent about a year and a half working on with the builders. Because people may or may not know that there's a small shop that's right behind the 18th hole, which is owned by the Lynx Trust. And in the past, they'd have to do two sets of stands because they couldn't bridge over that building. But now they've found a way to do that. And by doing that, they're going to have double-decker stands. And inside the stands on the one level will be the television cameras, which will now give you a much better look at the golf course than they could have before. So it's a much better situation for the RNA, and they're very, very excited about what they're going to be able to do this year.
Let me ask you this, Alex. What about that road that runs alongside of 18 from the green down about halfway down the 18th fairway, where you really don't even need a ticket to watch the Open Championship from? Is that still going to be accessible?
Well, you do actually need a ticket to get into that area. There's no way that you'll be able to get in there without a ticket. And they're not going to build stands there. And, yes, there'll be people being able to watch, and it'll be 5 and 6 deep. But, you know, I think what you have to realize is that if you look at that on the first fairway, from about maybe 30 yards down the first fairway, for about another 150 yards, there is going to be a huge set of stands. So really, if you wanted to watch the golf on the 18th, you can watch it from those fairway stands on the first hole.
Wow, it's just incredible. I've always loved the way the Open Championship does it with the stands. I'm excited to hear the news that you're bringing us that, you know, they're not only going to continue with the stands, they're expanding the stands. And what a benefit for the fans that are going there. You know, it's a tough walk out there. So people want to enjoy the Open Championship. They can get a good good spot in the grandstand. If you're going over, you now know that you're going to have more opportunity to sit and pick a good spot to watch all the action from.
Yeah, you know, there really isn't a better golf tournament to go to than the Open Championship. If you're an American, you should definitely make the trip.
Yeah, I agree. I think anybody that loves the game of golf, if they've never been to Scotland, I highly urge them always to go to Scotland. And if they've never been to an Open Championship and you want to go, boy, why not go when it's at St. Andrews? Because there'll be nothing higher on your bucket list. Speaking of things that are high, what about the play of Jordan Spieth? You know, one thing, looking back at that Masters, Alex, it never dawned on me that nobody was any time within three strokes of him all week at the Masters. I mean, you know, so the brilliance of that performance continues to filter through.
Well, I think that he was always so dominating, and every time people would talk about in the final round how somebody was getting close, they really weren't getting close. That what they were doing is they were putting a little pressure on Jordan Spieth, and every time he felt a little pressure, he answered the call, which is, I think, something that a lot of guys maybe don't expect from a 21-year-old, and I think that was the thing that's so impressive. Yeah, people were putting pressure on him, but he was always there and actually throwing it back at him. So it reminded me a lot, to some extent, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but you watch Jim Furyk on Sunday, and you watch him close out that golf tournament against Kevin Kisner. And I just felt like there was no time in that playoff that Jim Furyk wasn't going to win. And I felt the same way with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth showed the age of Jim Furyk when he won that Masters. He was like a 44-year-old guy that had been through the wars. It's exactly how he played that Masters, never giving anybody an inch and always taking the initiative and controlling it from the beginning.
Let me ask you this, Alex. You've had little time to think about it. I've been focusing on it a little bit. That performance by Jordan Spieth at the Masters, in regards to Rory McIlroy, is that something that's going to help Rory McIlroy maybe work harder, do things to remain the number one golfer in the world, or could it get frustrating like it did for Ernie Els and Phil Mickelson when Tiger was dominating?
Well, I think what got frustrating for Ernie Els and Tiger was the fact that he was always playing probably his best golf, but couldn't get it done with Tiger. For Phil Mickelson, from a talent level, always believed he had at least the same talent level, if not better, than Tiger Woods. Just things would go wrong at times. Phil was never as consistent as he needed to be. I think Rory McIlroy feels that he certainly has the game to more than compete with Jordan Spieth. I don't think he's worried about that. He just needs to get that consistency, which he's trying to find and having a hard time finding.
Well, I certainly hope you're right, and have no reason to believe that you're not. I mean, what an exciting time we would be entering into, even as early as St. Andrews, if it's Rory McIlroy and you know, Jordan Spieth coming down the stretch. I mean, that's about as compelling as it could get.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I will say that we all are right now. The flavor of the day is Jordan Spieth. And the second most popular flavor of the day is Rory McIlroy. So you always want to try to have them both on your Sunday. There's no question about that. But, you know, Phil Mickelson wins the U.S. Open. Tiger Woods wins, you know, some other event. And then all of a sudden we got all these other names we're talking about and guys that everybody can really focus on. So I think, you know, it's nice to have more names in the hopper. You remember the time where we had the big five? It would be nice to have a big three or a big four. But right now, we have to just enjoy what we have, and we can't overhype it, because when you overhype things, that's when you start getting in trouble, I believe.
Well, you mentioned the fact that maybe Phil wins the U.S. Open. Boy, what a story that would be. I mean, six times he's finished second. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment, finishing second six times in a U.S. Open. If he were to go on to win – Obviously, he'll be completing his Grand Slam and would be doing it before Rory McIlroy. So we at least have that to wait for when we go out to Chambers Bay and Phil tries to win. Well, I just want to say the Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military, but also the veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. To find out the Grill Room showtimes on the Armed Forces Radio Network, just go to the sports page on the armedforcesradionetwork.org website. Once again, a big salute to everybody listening on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Hey, by the way, Alex, do you know that Ion Loop has a new braided leather bracelet loaded with negative ions?
No, Bob, I didn't know that.
Well, believe it or not, the negative ions are the good ions that we all need to have. It looks so sharp, and you can even wear it out to dinner after you're around. So impress your friends with your new braided leather bracelet. Go to ionloop.com to make your selection. Remember, it comes in black, red, saddle brown, or the new color combo, black and red together. Order today at ionloop.com.
As long as we're visiting the Grill Room Bulletin Board, we'd like the military men or women in our audience to know that Ion Loop has a military series of wristbands. Just pick your service branch, Marines, Army, Coast Guard, Navy, or Air Force. They're all available on ionloop.com.
When we return, we'll fire up the old jet and we'll be going around the world.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game.
Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats.
From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Masters champion Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Racing to the first tee.
Hi, I'm Bob Bupker, and each week I have to work with Alex Maselli. We rarely agree on any hot topic, especially when it concerns Tiger Woods. But for all the latest news, views, and analysis from the world of professional golf, listen to The Grill Room. Alex, it's an honor to be on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
The Grill Room is excited, Bob. Remember, The Grill Room on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
The first team.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bupka and Alex Maselli.
As promised, we told you it's time to go around the world of golf, and why don't we begin with the European Tour. Alex, what happened there?
Well, Bob, what happened was is that it was a struggle going down the stretch. I actually thought that Peter Uihlein had a chance to win that tournament, and didn't. Kiridish Araf, I can never say this name, Araf Bonrat won in a playoff, making a sensational birdie over a 19-year-old Chinese kid, Li Hao Tong, who has not played hardly any on the European Tour. And Araf Bat wins, and it's a huge win for him, because not only does it give him another one on the European Tour, but it also gives him the opportunity to actually play in the President's Cup, because he is now, I think, in the top 10 in points. And here's a guy that's had some problems. He's lost his coach, who passed away recently, and made some equipment changes, went to Callaway. So he's had some adjustments to make, but there he goes, winning in China, one of the new European Tour events. And it's a huge win for him.
Yeah, and he was very happy, as he refers to it, to steal away this victory. Let's give it a listen.
It's mean a lot to me. After I've been away for like 2 years. Haven't playing great golf, but special thanks to my families to support my fiance, my new coach, and my old coach is still in my heart. One thing I keep saying to the Adams in Caribbean Asia that we have to believe one day I'll come back, and today has come true.
All right, time to move on to the LPGA Tour. Lotter Championship presented by Hershey played at the Kolina Golf Club in Hawaii. Se-Young Kim wins for the second time on the LPGA Tour. But Alex, for those that haven't seen this on Golf Channel, and it was a Saturday finish to the event, probably one of the more remarkable conclusions to any golf tournament I had ever witnessed. What happened was Se-Young Kim chipped in on the 18th hole to force a playoff. Then they go to the first playoff hole, and she holds out, Alex, for a second shot. So she chips in to get in the playoff, holds out for an eagle to win the event. Remarkable stuff.
Well, it reminds me of Birdie Kim at Cherry Hills. She wins that U.S. Open out of the bunker. You know, you don't see that often, but that's exactly what Bubba Watson did. The HSBC he went ahead and hold out of a bunker to get into a playoff. It's something that you don't expect, but obviously it's happening more and more. It just shows you how good players are.
Yeah, and the player that she beat, MB Park, certainly. A highly, highly talented player on the LPGA Tour. But now we segue down to Atlanta. The Greater Gwinnett Championship being played at the TPC Sugarloaf just outside Atlanta. Rain short in the event. Good news for Olin Brown, though. Wins for the second time in his career. If you remember, he won the 2011 U.S. Senior Open. That was, a little while ago, so Olin Brown, happy to get in that winner's circle.
Well, you know, those events are track meets, Bob. They're sprints, and this was even more of a sprint because they only got two rounds in instead of three. So, you know, congratulations to Olin Brown. It paid off, but I'm sure that he was glad that he probably didn't have to play another 18 because, you know, there's a lot of movement going on in those events.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing when I see that, the six different winner on the Champions Tour this year in six official events. So there's getting to be more and more talent on the Champions Tour, and it is harder to win. But congratulations to Olin Brown, certainly one of the good guys on the Champions Tour. What happened on the Web.com Tour?
Wes Roach won by four shots over Patton Kizvi and Kevin Tway, the son of Bob Tway, at the El Bosque Mexico Championship.
Congratulations to Wes on that victory. Now we go to the RBC Heritage, and finally we witnessed, Alex, the 4,000-pound gorilla that has been riding on the back of Jim Furyk for so long. I believe he hadn't won since 2010. Had nine times where he was the 54-hole leader and didn't get the job done. But, boy, he did it in fine fashion. It was just incredible, the good golf that was being played by Kisner and Furyk over those not only the last hole in regulation, the first hole of sudden death.
Well, I mean, first of all, Kevin Kisner is a much better player than people would even give him credit for. They don't really know much about him, but was a fantastic player at Georgia. If he would have won, he would have been the first South Carolinian to win the event in South Carolina, which is kind of odd as well, considering how many good Carolinian players, I should say, there are. But Kevin Kisner needed to make birdie on the 18th hole to get in a playoff. He drains that. Then he turns around and has a birdie putt again on the 18th hole in the playoff to go ahead and force Jim Furyk to make his putt. He makes that, and then Furyk, who I never doubted was going to make the putt, had about a 10-footer that hit the bottom of the cup, no question at all. And then, again, Kisner had a chance to put the pressure on Furyk, but didn't. And I think once he didn't do that on the par 3 17th, when he missed that putt, one that he misread, clearly, I think he knew that Jim Furyk was going to drain his 15-footer, which he absolutely did. And the thing that you saw out of Jim Furyk, Bob, was total jubilation by the fact that not only did he win his 17th golf tournament of his career, but as you said, got the huge, huge monkey off of his back. There's still a little remnants of that, though, because as you mentioned, he has gone into the final round 9 times since his last win and not won. So when he goes into his next time, which will be his 10th time, and goes into the final round with the lead, we'll see how he does. But he wasn't thinking about that when that putt fell on the 17th hole in the second playoff hole. It was tremendous to see Jim Furyk finally breaking through again.
And we're going to hear from Jim Furyk in just a moment. I got a phone call on Sunday afternoon from my brother Tom, and he said, Bob, take a look at Kevin Kisner's caddy. It's a guy by the name of Dwayne Bach that my brother had on his basketball team when he was back in high school. Dwayne Bach, a good player in his own right. And boy, I said to my brother, he's really got a good bag in Kisner, because as you alluded to, Alex, he really played well. He was an NCAA All-American, I think, 4 years running at the University of Georgia.
Absolutely, he was. He was a very, very good player, and he looks like if he continues to play like he did last week at Hilton Head, he's going to be a very, very good pro. But the guy who beat him, Jim Furyk, let's hear what he has to say.
I can't think of a more fitting place to, you know, to kind of break that streak and get another win under my belt. This is my favorite event. I love being here. And outside winning another major championship, this is a perfect place to do it. Today was one hell of a 63, because I didn't hit it, you know, I didn't hit it like 63, I'll promise you. But I scrapped it out and knocked some putts in and scored and got the ball in the hole. And ultimately, that's how you win golf tournaments.
All right, Alex, you know, I've asked many a player, you've asked many a player, you know, how do they go about setting their schedule? I mean, you know, they were independent contractors. They have a whole menu of events that they could play or not play in. So what did we do? We asked Jim Furyk how he sets his schedule.
I base most of my events around the golf course. It suits my game. It suits my style. You know, I've tended to either play really well here or miss a cut. And it's because if you're not placing the ball exactly where you want, if you don't have control of the golf ball here, it's going to eat your lunch. But if you do, and hitting a lot of fairways, and I'm comfortable working the ball left to right, right to left, high, low. I'm a lot more comfortable now later in my career doing that than I was early. And this course calls for a lot of different shots. And you see a lot of guys that are good ball strikers that play well here year in and year out. You know, I just love the golf course. It really, I was kind of set on 17th green afterwards. If I were to design or build a golf course for me, I'd want it to be just like Harbortown, if that makes sense.
And what you heard there is basically, and I think most players do this, they kind of try and put the courses on their schedule that they like and they play well. I mean, it's only common sense.
Well, you know, Bob, that's true. But the problem with Furyk is he liked so many courses that he was playing too much. People don't understand that when they put the FedEx Cup playoffs in place, that really changed a lot of what guys could do in the regular season. And like I've said, you know, Furyk doesn't like the West Coast that much, so he doesn't start until Pebble Beach. And then he goes into Florida. So, you know, he missed a lot of the early fall stuff because he's really not thrilled with that. So he puts a lot of events together in a short period of time, and it's because he likes those venues. But there was a time when he liked all the venues, and he was really stuck on what to do. But he slowly, at 44, slowly started to figure it out. I think a lot of guys have figured it out over time because of the playoffs. And Furyk, who's obviously won the FedEx Cup playoffs, knows exactly how important it is to be prepared mentally and physically going into those playoffs.
You know, Alex, there were two indications of how important that this victory meant to Jim Furyk. Number one, on the winning putt, he dropped his putter with the ball still about 3 feet from the hole. He knew it was going in. He put his fist in the air and just had such a strain on his face. But right after that, his longtime caddy, a good friend of the Grill Room show, Mike Fluff Cowan, and Jim Furyk, they hugged one another, and you could just sense that both were saying to each other, wow, we got the job done. We got the job done here, so that means we go to News and Notes. That's next.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Coffee.
The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
You know the music by now. When you hear that music on the Grill Room, it means that it's time for News and Notes. And let's begin with the European Tour, since Alex is at St. Andrews. The European Tour, they've selected their new CEO, Keith Pelley. He's going to take over this coming summer after George O'Grady, who has been a tremendous friend of the Grill Room show. Have you met Keith yet, Alex? And what are your thoughts on him taking the reins?
Well, I've never met Keith Pelley, but I will say, if you look at his credentials, you know, currently he's the head of Rogers Media, which is a media conglomerate in Canada. But he's been involved in a lot of sporting issues on television. He's dealt with the Blue Jays. He's dealt with Major League Baseball. He's dealt with the Canadian Football League. He's dealt with the NFL. He's dealt with the NBA. He's been involved in negotiating numerous television deals. And as part of that, and he's involved with so many different corporations. All of these are positives for the European Tour, which is trying to move from where they are now to be a bigger, more substantial tour. And I think Keith Pelley, who clearly, A, will be the first chief executive that's not from Europe or not from the UK. I think they did a lot of soul searching and a lot of looking around to find exactly the right person for the job. And I think in Keith Pelley they have that. I've talked to some people in the business, and all they have to say are very, very positive things about Keith Pelley. So I think the European Tour has done a really good job, and now what they're going to have to do is execute. And I think that's why Pelley will be there, is to get them going in the right direction and start executing.
Well, we'd be remiss, Alex, if we didn't give a salute to George O'Grady. We've worked with him for years, and you know, a lot of financial pressure from a lot of different areas on the European Tour. But I think George O'Grady, there's no other words to describe it. He just did a fantastic job.
Well, not only that, Bob, he's going to be around through the 2016 Olympics. That's part of his job, is to stay around and to basically shepherd along the Olympic effort from the European Tour side. So he's not going anywhere for a while. And even when he does, he's done yeoman's work at a tour that, you know, has a lot of competition, not only in the UK, not only in Europe, but worldwide. And, you know, when you got the 500-pound behemoth in the PGA Tour and you're effectively having to compete with them in some cases, it's not an easy job.
No, it really isn't. But I'm sure Mr. Pelley will do a wonderful job. When you look at, as you alluded to, Alex, the amount of TV and radio stations that he's been involved with, the amount of major league professional teams, it's just simply incredible. Let's move on in news and notes. National Golf Day in Washington, D.C. Golf leaders came together to meet with Congress and national leaders to discuss the impact golf has had on the economy, plus the environment and the quality of life. And we have a special treat. We're going to hear from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America CEO Rhett Evans in our feature interview a little later in the show. You're not going to want to miss that. USGA, they're going modern, Alex. You can bring your cell phones out on the golf course when we get to Chambers Bay.
Well, that's going to be funny because the USGA is not going to really allow anybody on the golf course, so it really doesn't matter. They're letting people have phones. That being said, I'm not sure if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I mean, there's recognition of the fact that people live and die with their cell phones, that they need to have them from a business standpoint. But, you know, the Masters still does not permit cell phones on the property. I don't think there's anybody that says, I'm not going to the Masters because I can't use my cell phone. I think this is just a situation where the USGA recognizes they're not the Masters. And they're just going to have to just live with having to slowly, incrementally chip away at their at what they would like to do for the benefit of having people come to the event. I mean, I don't see any other reason why you would have people have cell phones. I mean, players don't like it. They don't like the fact that people use cameras off of them. They don't like the fact they can hear them ringing. They don't like the fact that people are using them in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, bottom line is that, you know, I just think that this is just a concession that probably is not necessary if you're a more prominent event. And I think the U.S. Open has got its issues. This is the reason they're doing this.
Well, I don't know how much truth there is to it, Alex, but I did hear from a very reliable source. The Masters said they're going to review that policy on cell phones. They have it on the calendar for 2050. They'll take a look at it and see if they're going to change that. Anyway, we talked about it earlier in the show. Sir Nick Faldo going to play in his last Open Championship this year at St. Andrews. Fanny DeCaddy, Tom Watson also going to be making St. Andrews his swan song. Going to be pretty emotional time. You and I were both there when Jack Nicklaus did it. The fans that come to the Open Championship, they embrace the great players. It's going to be something for Faldo and Watson.
It will be. And I think the RNA is trying to figure out exactly how to honor their last Open Championship. And they're not sure exactly what to do yet because this isn't something that they were planning on necessarily. So I think Nick could have been around for another four or five Open Championships, but decided that he wanted to play in his last Open Championship at St. Andrews. And who wouldn't want to make the old course in St. Andrews their last Open experience? So so we'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting because there's anniversaries galore on this year. Peter Thompson, 60th. I think it's 60 years since he won his last Open Championship at St. Andrews. I think that's right. Tom Watson, it's like his 30th. It's Nick Faldo's 20th. It's Sandy Lyle's 30th. There's just a tremendous amount of synergy between all of them. Not all at St. Andrews at the time, obviously, but point being is that it's a big, big year for the Open Championship and for the RNA, and they've even changed their entire look and feel, Bob. They have different logos, they have different marketing treatments. They even made sure that they have this color blue. You know, Augusta National has green. They have this dark blue, and all the seats that they're doing in the stands are the blue. So I mean, they've gone that far to make sure the seats are the right color.
Pretty amazing stuff. And best of my calculations, considering the fact that you even wanted to spend a Christmas there with your family, we're coming up on nearly 20 visits to St. Andrews by our own Alex Maselli. We'll keep you posted when that big event comes. And by the way, I hope Nick Faldo and Tom Watson share the same good fortune that befell Jack Nicklaus when the last hole he played at St. Andrews, he made birdie on. And I'm sure that those guys will be trying to do that. And finally, as I read on Golf Blot, United Airlines is starting flights from Denver to North Bend, Oregon, by the way, which happens to be in the general area of Bend and Dunes. Is that just for you, Mr. Maselli?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm surprised because they were trying to get Delta to fly out of Denver into North Bend and couldn't get it done. You know, I find it also interesting that the headquarters for United Airlines is in Chicago. The owner of Bend and Dunes, Mike Kaiser, is in Chicago. So I find that synergy quite interesting as well. It's only going to be from, like, I think June 1st till, like, the end of September that United's going to do that. But it's a big difference. It makes a big difference because before you'd have to fly to San Francisco and then fly San Francisco to North Bend. Sometimes the flights would be available. Sometimes they wouldn't. You could fly into Portland, but then you'd have to drive down or you'd have to take some puddle jumper. Or lastly, you could fly into Eugene and then take the two-hour drive. So it's a big deal that they're going to do this. And I think it's only going to enhance what they're trying to do at Bend and Dunes.
Well, United Airlines, save that first seat in front of that plane. My partner Alex Maselli guaranteed to be buying a ticket. Speaking of a ticket, you have a ticket to our feature interview with Golf Course Superintendents Association CEO Rhett Evans. We'll be back with that in just a minute.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Masters champion Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Our next guest has been in the Grill Room before, but it's a great time to welcome him back because something special took place on April 22nd, way back in 1970. They dedicated that day to Earth Day, and since then, there's been so much going on concerning the planet. I wanted to speak to Rhett Evans. He's the CEO of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. Rhett, I know you've been busy the last couple of weeks. When I heard where you've been, from the Masters to Congress to just about everywhere, you have to be exhausted.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, but we're certainly, I think, going around and expressing to folks how this great game of golf provides so many community resources and benefits to everybody that to the different communities.
You know, it's fascinating, though. Golf fits so well into the scope of environmental stewardship. No matter where you go, your golf course superintendents are doing everything to make sure they're doing it right.
Yeah, they are, and I think a lot of it stems from the education that that they're able to consume. Over 75% of our members have a degree in turf management, and so obviously environmental stewardship and how they maintain that asset is a major component of what they study, and as they're out there in the field day in and day out, it behooves them to employ these practices. Obviously, you know, we want to sustain the game not only from an environmental standpoint, but from an economic standpoint. And so when we can do things out on the course that minimize inputs, whether it's water or other, you know, nutrient, pesticides, herbicides, et cetera, it helps the bottom line and ultimately helps the environment. So there's lots at stake here, and the superintendents do a tremendous job of balancing that to ultimately create, I think, some great playing surfaces and conditions at the same time being environmentally responsible.
We're talking with Rhett Evans. He's the CEO of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. Let me ask you this, Rhett. Certain parts of the country, the last couple of years, water has become a tremendous issue, you know, the lack of. And golf courses, as I know them, are working hard to use less and less water, to use recycled water. That initiative is so important to what the you know, superintendents are responsible for.
Oh, it is, Bob, and it's going to be even more so as time goes on. If you look at the Western United States, the latest figures show that out of those states, 75% of them on the west coast of the United States are in drought condition, and then 23% are in what they call extreme drought conditions. And so you look at those major reservoirs, whether it's Lake Mead, Lake Powell, et cetera, and all of those being, you know, extremely low right now. Governor Brown from California issuing a 25% reduction of water use. You know, golf has been preparing for this for some time. Obviously, you know, through some of their practices, water conservation practices, through some of the things that we're doing to actually minimize the amount of turf at a course, looking at areas that are out of play or that just don't get a lot of traffic and putting those back into native areas, et cetera. You're going to continue to see that practice, which, you know, again, not just in the Western United States. I think you're going to see that in various other parts of the country. You look at South Central, you know, they've gone through some drought conditions as well, and ultimately, you know, water is going to be, if not the biggest issue facing golf, it'll certainly be up at the top of the list.
Well, you're certainly in the forefront of that situation. Not enough people realize, you know, they may not play golf, so they don't think of a golf course as being important. But it provides habitats for wildlife, including protected species.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny because obviously most of your listeners are avid golfers, and we all enjoy the game for different reasons and so forth. But yet the majority, or if not, I should say the average, Bob, a golf course, 18-hole golf course, is roughly 150 acres, and yet when you look at the areas that most golfers play in, which are, you know, the tees, the fairways, and the greens, that only makes up about 36 acres of that 150-acre property. So the rest of that tract of land is what? Well, it's forest, it's wetland, it's habitat for those endangered species that you just referred to, or other areas that can provide not only wildlife habitat, but also plant species habitat, and et cetera. So there's just so many benefits to having, you know, a golf course in your community. I think you mentioned earlier, you know, storm runoff and the fact that, you know, these golf courses are actually able to harvest that storm water that you know, comes from an adjacent strip mall or a housing community, and they're able to store that, house it on the golf course, and then ultimately reuse it. And the majority of the golf courses, I think most people don't know this fact, but very, very few of them use municipal water. the majority of the golf courses use reclaimed water or their own well.
Well, Red Evans, I want to close on a positive note because golf in general is a good business. I know it, it provides somewhere around 2 million jobs, $69 billion is the economic impact, and $3.9 billion goes to charity. And when you combine all those things, you know, golf is less a luxury and more a necessity.
Boy, isn't that the truth? There's just so many benefits that can go back to a community, whether you're a golfer or you're a non-golfer. It's a great sport. It's a great. It's just a great asset to provide, you know, tax benefits, recreational benefits, social benefits, and certainly, as we're talking about Earth Day, environmental benefits.
All right. No better way to celebrate Earth Day than listen to the words of Rhett Evans, the CEO of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. Rhett, thanks for coming to the Grill Room, and happy Earth Day.
Well, a big Grill Room thanks to Rhett Evans. I don't think people really understand the importance not only of golf on the economy, on the environment, but clearly what the superintendents do as well. You know, the ideas that have been espoused by the golf course superintendents and by other people about the importance of golf to just the general welfare of the country. And I think that people need to understand that. And that's one of the things that Rhett Evans is trying to explain. That's what golf is trying to say to the leaders in Washington during National Golf Day. So, you know, I just only applaud them for doing that. Anyways, that's Rhett Evans. That's the golf course superintendents. Next up, what's next on the schedule?
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is proud to partner with the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. Share exciting news about how you could win a trip to the PGA Championship in August at Whistling Straits just by thanking a golf course superintendent. Go to gcsaa.org/thankasuperintendent to enter and recognize someone who has given you a reason to love this great game. Top golfers have gotten on board to thank a superintendent. You should too.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
Go to gcsaa.org/thankasuperintendent to enter today.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. I'm Bob. He's Alex at good old St. Andrews. But time now, Alex. We got to take a look at what's next on the schedule. Let's begin with the LPGA, the Swinging Skirts. They're playing the LPGA Classic presented by CTBC. At a great golf course. People hear about San Francisco. They hear about Olympic Club. But Merced Golf Club in San Francisco, absolutely outstanding.
You're right, Bob. Lake Merced is a very, very good golf course. And probably the men couldn't play, but the women really enjoy it. Lydia Ko is defending. It'd be interesting to see what happens with her. She's kind of been in a little bit of a slump. So it'd be interesting to see if she can knock out of it there at the LPGA Swinging Skirts LPGA Classic. Web.com is taking a week off, Bobby. European Tour, they're still in China, the Vovo China Open, and we'll see who can win there. Obviously, Bubba Watson was in China last week. It's coming back this week. What's going on with the Champions Tour?
Well, a very special event. As you well know, Alex, the Bass Pro Shops legend of golf at Big Cedar Lodge. 14 members of the Hall of Fame are in the field. Fred Funk and Jeff Sluman are defending. The marquee team certainly is going to be Jack Nicklaus playing with Gary Player, but some fan favorites, Lee Trevino playing with his old buddy Mike Hill. Chichi Rodriguez is going to be playing with Bob Murphy, who's competing for the first time, Alex, since 2007. Bob Murphy was a heck of a golfer in his own right and did great work as part of the NBC sports team, which covered golf. How about Tom Watson and Andy North playing together? Larry Nelson, Hubert Green, many, many more. You know, we're going to see Nick Price and Colin Montgomery. And 2015 inductee David Graham and Mark O'Meara are also in the field. That's going to be a good event. Going to be a lot of fun there.
Bob, you know, I got to tell you, my name was almost part of this field, but because I'm in St. Andrews, I couldn't accept.
Oh, that's too bad. Why couldn't you hire a jet to get you there?
You know, I mean, they contacted me too late.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that certainly doesn't surprise me. I mean, with that list of Hall of Famers, it looks a little empty. It could be filled out if it had the name Alex Maselli on there. All right, the PGA Tour, they love going down to New Orleans. And the Zurich Classic, always a good event, Alex. They have a lot of fun and certainly some good stuff to eat for the week for the boys on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, Acme Oysters. Maybe that's why Sung Young Noel played so well, winning last year in New Orleans. Jason Day is the highest-ranked player in the field. Bob Keegan Bradley is playing better. Eric Compton is strong always. Ricky Fowler, we'll have to see if he can come back from not finishing in the top 10 in a major. Retief Goosen, Billy Horschel, Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, and Steve Stricker. Stricker coming back for the first time since playing in the Masters. That was after a four-month hiatus. Justin Rose, obviously disappointed from what happened at the Masters, so we'll see what he can come back with. So it's a pretty good field. It's not a great field, but you know that we got the match play coming next week, and so there's a lot of guys that are taking the week off, getting prepared for what could be a very, very interesting match play. First time that they've done this new format, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a one-off out in San Francisco, and next year really going to be interesting because it's going to be at the Austin Country Club in Austin, Texas, and that is where Harvey Pienick and his son Tinsley taught for so many years.
Well, Jordan Spieth couldn't come back after winning the first major of the year, but you never know what's going to happen in the next week in golf. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, on our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and to Ion Loop, and to GolfWeek.com. For Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.